It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. So we're going to get into the probably the most viral stock market video that I have seen since End of America 20. Remember the ads? And I talked about these a couple years ago. Remember the End of America ads back in 2012, 13, 14. You would hear this scary ad on the radio, and it played online, obviously, and it was just this, you know, the financial crisis, the end of the world is coming, the end of the stock market, the end of the U.S. economy, the end of life as we know it. You get pictures of bread lines, you know, the black and white photos from the 1930s, you know, hundreds of people that couldn't get food in America and refugee camps in the United States, and it was something like. Visit endofamerica22.com for your free newsletter. And I started to get a lot of emails about what are these End of America folks doing? And again, it ended up being some sort of newsletter sign up kind of thing. And we've got one that is, they kind of went away for a couple of years. And now we are back. So we have a normal market week full of a little bit of angst here and there. We've got Turkey with the Turkish lira implosion, market down on Friday, still less than 1%. We have Tesla, probably the most relevant news that we really should talk about, and we will talk about that today. That Tesla, Elon Musk just says via Twitter, hey, I'm just going to take the company private this massive premium for where it's trading today. So stock rallies 15, 16%, halted, and then we need to talk about today the de-equitization of the U.S. market. So big public companies just going away. Remember, another topic we've talked about. So a lot of the themes we've talked about over this last several years have come into focus this week. De-equitization, just meaning stocks are going away. They've gone away. If you go back to 1997, there were 7,500 publicly traded companies. 7,500 publicly traded companies. And this is going all the way back to 1997, not that long ago. Today, how many are there? There are 3,600 companies. That is a more than 50% decline in the number of companies that you and I can invest in. Just stocks have gone away. How have they gone away? Well, less and less IPOs, bankruptcies, companies going out of business, going away. And then companies going private and of course, mergers. So if you think about AT&T and Time Warner, those two very large companies, they're not going away. They're supposed to, and it's still, the deal hasn't been done yet, but eventually that will just be one company. So two stocks into one. So mergers, another piece of that equation. But there is, it's a fascinating trend for you and I, and it brings up a lot of implications that nobody's talking about whatsoever, about what do you do as more and more choice goes away. Publicly traded company, not as easy for you. There's less and less to choose from. And then at some point, well, what about all the other companies? What about the Ubers of the world? And we know these because these are hot tech names like Uber and Airbnb and SpaceX and WeWork. These are somewhat technologically forward companies or complete tech companies. And they get a lot of press on being private. How do you invest in SpaceX? How do you get a piece of Airbnb if it's going to grow for the next decade totally private, and there's only a handful of super uber rich investors? How do you get a piece of that? Are you left with the scraps in the public market where all the really really good companies with growth? Is that just for the ultra rich? That's a trend that is changing. I think that there's a huge opportunity for us, you and me, to be able to harness that over time. These are the things we need to talk about here today because they're impacting the future of our financial markets. They're impacting your future. And along with all of this, these are the things we really should focus on. We will focus on this a little bit. But we go back to the very hurdles that you and I have to get over in a normal, just daily blocking and tackling of staying the course, understanding where we are in America, understanding the power of American ingenuity and how we continue to grow throughout crises and depressions and recessions and world wars. We're faced with that on a seemingly daily basis. And the reason I bring up today's video, and again, when we're going to talk about a video, I call this stock market crash, lamb to slaughter. What did he just say? This is a video about that has been to some extent gone viral. And the reason I say that is I had a ton of separate people from all different walks of life email me this video this week. And I thought, wow, this is one of these things. Obviously, it's kind of spread. By the time I get 10 emails about the same thing, that means a lot of people have seen this and or will see it. And I get this question. I get emails every day about the next coming collapse or worries about the future, because we're all worried about something bad happening, whether it's just for our money or just in America in general. We've been through a lot in the last 20 years, and it's a scary world that we live in. And of course, there's that piece of it. You know, how do we protect our families? How do we live in a safe world? Well, the other side of it is that we think, well, what is this going to do to my retirement account? What is it going to do to my money? What is it going to do to my future, financial future and my financial independence? So you get these emails and there might be there's a headline that says, hey, the so-and-so expert says market's going to crash. And that's the other thought this week. I had a lot of different questions about, well, so-and-so says the market's going to crash. Who's they? They is so popular. They say the market's going to crash. And I look up these articles and I want to see if there's validity to this. So there's always a layer of news that says there's going to be a collapse of the economy, the U.S. economy and the global economy and the stock market and the bond market. The demographic wave will sink the U.S. economy, the coming demographic wave. And the U.S. dollar is going to collapse and Bitcoin is going to take over the world. And as an investor, when you see this one sided fear, these spinnings of yarn, if you will, these economic doomsday stories, they're hard to ignore. And the reason they're hard to ignore, because there's always some grain of truth in the argument. There's some piece of reality in the recipe. Enough that most of the time, I feel like I got to dive in and just make sure I want to know what people are talking about. I want to understand why someone is coming up with the propagation of fear. Like, what's the piece of the equation that makes me so scared? What makes you so scared? So throughout the week, when I find new pieces of doomsday scenario information, I'll dive in. I'll get our Money Matters team. I'll say, well, let's figure out what they're saying. Let's just make sure that let's understand what's happening here, so that we know the reasons behind what people are saying. And the fact that investors have been so burned so badly into the year 2000, and then in the year 2008, really 07, 08, 09, and then even Bitcoin, that has been a disaster in 2018. Investors are burned, and I don't think it's ever a bad idea to understand and think through any sort of warning. Why wouldn't you? But in this case, the topic of today, the warning came in the form of a video. I'll call it half PowerPoint, half one-on-one to the camera with a headline. Here's the headline. Crash 2018. A $5.1 trillion financial time bomb that proves that the Dow will fall 70%. Starting on a specific date. And by the way, I think they've changed this date over and over and over again. They put it in June, then July, then August, September, igniting a second Great Depression. And then there's a warning. This video contains footage that may be disturbing to some viewers. Now, I go to the video, right? I get a couple of different folks will email me this and they'll say, okay, what are they talking about? This is scary stuff. Sounds like we're going into a depression. Well, You go to the video, then you cue the horror movie soundtrack. And I'm not going to play it here today, because, and I'll spare you the waste of your time watching this, again, probably the most popular stock market video we've seen in a decade. And it starts out by literally saying, it's a picture of, think of the cutest, whitest, fluffiest lamb. With a green background, just so peaceful. On a beautiful farm in eastern Pennsylvania. And we start out by saying, or the video starts out by saying, take a good look at this lamb. He's a happy, innocent little lamb. He always has food to eat, always has a shelter to keep him out of harsh weather. He doesn't have any worries about predators. His trusted leader shears him once a year, but otherwise he's very comfortable. So when the innocent lamb is invited by those they trust to take a walk, he simply follows the crowd and suspects nothing. More scary music, yet this will be the last walk of his life. Because within the next few seconds, unsuspectingly, this happy, innocent little lamb will be slaughtered. And that's what this video is about. So think about all the scary things you can drum up on history. And then you overlay an innocent lamb going to slaughter. And you wrap that in a ball of a story about the U.S. economy and the stock market. Of course, people are going to be scared. And I'm going to save you the time and save you the energy of having to watch this filth, if you will, and understand the economic points that they bring up in the video, because there are several of them. A few of them, yes, there's some merit to some of it. And that's just like any doomsday scenario. You've got to have a kernel of truth or a piece of truth. And it goes back to this $5.1 trillion secret. Well, I'm going to tell you what the secret is. So, and help us understand really if we need to be scared or not. Preview, you don't have to freak out, but stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Happy music on a Sunday morning, even though we're talking about doomsday stock market videos. Warning of the $5.1 trillion financial time bomb. Here, I'm going to save you or spare you all the analysis that maybe Ryan would say I wasted time on. Looking at this. Why do you waste your time looking at this? It's because in the end, there's a grain of truth to these videos. And there's a grain of, well, this is what they're talking about. And what they do is they'll take this grain of truth. And in this case, the propagation of why the world's going to end, or the U.S. stock market's going to crash and we're going to go into a great recession and a depression, has to do with a rule. And in the video, of course, they call this the secret group of buyers is about to go away. This exclusive group of underground, dark-seated buyers. What the and the rule they talk about is the rule 10b-18, and the rule 10b-18 is an SEC rule that provides safe harbor for companies and their affiliated purchasers when the company or affiliates repurchase company shares. Really means companies can buy back their own stock. That's what rule 10b-18 is, and there is some talk in Congress to get rid of that rule. And the reason, and this is part of the backlash of tax reform, is saying, okay, tax reform took and gave back billions of dollars to big corporations. And where do those billions of dollars go? There's of course, and I'm going to give you statistics on this, where tax reform money went. So much today in this show. I'm excited. But the argument is that the tax reform and all the billions of dollars went into big companies just went to already the wealthiest folks. So it basically went to the CEOs and the big shareholders of these companies. And it was the rich got richer and no money flowed down to the people. So there's no wage increases and there were no bonuses. And it's all about fat cats getting fatter. And the argument is, if you allow companies to take their own profits and buy back their own stock, then you continue to allow this trend and nothing ever goes to the worker. and nothing ever really benefits society or benefits the larger economy. That's this whole argument. So number one, there is some talk about this rule going away. One, we went to our political analytics group in Washington, D.C. to get an answer about that. And two, we want to explore what happens if this rule does go away. Yes, there have been, even just this past year, almost $1 trillion of stock buybacks. So companies, they make tons of profit or lots of extra profit because of taxes are lower. And what do they do with it? Well, part of what they have done, of course, has been buying back their own stock to reduce the inventory of stock to increase their earnings per share. It's been happening for 40 plus years or around 40 years. So we're going to continue this conversation when Money Matters returns. Good morning. Stay tuned right here. News 95.5, AM 750, WSB. Wes Moss here, your host. Ryan Ely here, producer, executive producer. He takes your phone calls and questions. By the way, the number here in the studio, we're going to go to the phones in just a second. 404-872-0750. The number again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800 WSB Talk. I get so excited about our content sometimes, and Ryan says, hey Wes, just remember we take phone calls here on Money Matters, and that's actually a much better part of the show than you droning on about crazy doom and gloom stock market videos. Yeah, that's become part of our job, is that And I don't mind these things, right? And if you're, again, if you're just tuning in, what we're kind of tackling here today is a viral stock market video, not that dissimilar than the commercials you might hear in any given day. If you're listening to Bloomberg or CNBC or any radio station for that matter, or television station, there's always some sort of propagation that the world's, you know, it's all about to end. We're going to go right back to 2007-8. We're going to go right back to the tech crash. And it's so easy to be pessimistic in the world we live in because we've gone through so much. Now, we have gone through difficult times, and then we've recovered tremendously. And those who have become really wealthy are those that have continued to believe in the economic progress of the United States, quite frankly, whether it be your fundamental underpinnings or you understand the demographics of the United States or the fundamental economy of the United States or really the system that we operate within. And these are all the things that keep me focused on the future and the growth of the U.S. economy and the growth of corporations and how we're able to continue to edge forward and plow new ground and create new wealth. And creating wealth is really what we need to do in order to have financial independence. So that's what we're here to kind of remind you about every Sunday morning. But there will continue to be hornets that are buzzing at all times that very easily can take you off track and have you running scared. And then you can very easily lose your way. And today is an example of that. And that's why we bring up, and it's not just this particular lamb to slaughter video with pictures of bread lines, but then tries to bring it back and say, look, you know, this is a very serious video and the world's about to collapse. Really about the stock market and the economy is that we've got to understand all this, what I would consider disinformation. It's disinformation. And it's fine. You can get worked up about it and get mad about it, or you can go follow that and go down a very wrong, dark path and end up not creating any wealth. Or you can understand it. And I think to me, that is kind of the elixir for me. That's the antidote to fear for me, is to understand what the propagation of the fear is all about. And very often, just like today, it is grounded in just a tiny, tiny sliver of truth. So call it 1% correct and 99% just ridiculous. And as long as I can help you understand that, it'll help maybe keep you on track in a better way and create more wealth. So we're going to continue that conversation today about this rule about corporate stock buybacks. There have been trillions of dollars of corporate stock buybacks. A big chunk of that has come since tax reform. and it's helped companies reduce the count of stock they have and increase their earnings per share. If a company buys has 100 million shares and buys back 10 million of those shares, there's only 90 million shares. So your earnings, if earnings just stayed level, earnings per share would of course increase. So it's a strategy, and it's been a strategy for decades and decades for companies to increase EPS, earnings per share, which we of course watch or look at as we look at opportunities in markets. What companies are growing earnings per share? So there's merit to this, but there's also some political pushback right now about it. And part of it has to do with tax reform. We're going to talk about whether we think what direction that political trend will go, and then continue to talk about why much of what they talked about in this latest, just the latest in a string of world is about to end fear videos, why it is complete hyperbole and really just disinformation that's trying to ruin you as an investor. But in the meantime, per Ryan Neely, we're going to go to the phones because that's what we love to do. Again, we'll take your phone calls this morning. We'd love to do it. Love to help and give you kind of our opinion, a third-party objective opinion on the financial direction that might be the best for you and your family, your spouse. You guys are you two are having a conversation, call us. Call me. We'd love to talk it through, whether you're a teacher or a doctor, lawyer, or an entrepreneur or a business owner. We're happy to help you figure out a way to save a little better or understand if you take a left versus a right, what that will mean for your economic future. How should you invest? What are some of the things you should be investing in over time? The phone line's open, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Odette in Athens joins us. What's going on, Odette? How can we help?
Hello, Wes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 61-year-old retired teacher, and I feel that I need to diversify my 457 and my 403B. It's a short-term fixed account, 100% at 1% yield. And it's been like that for 5 years, so I don't feel I made the right decision, but that's why I'm calling you. I also have some IRAs.
Odette, the 403B and for, is it a company? I get really, so again, what Odette's saying here is that a 403B, if you're not familiar with that, if you're listening in, it is the equivalent of a 401K that teachers and those in the, let's call it the teachers, the folks in, call it government, will have 403Bs versus 401Ks. 457s, it's another iteration of a retirement plan. Almost the same rules. There's a couple slight variations here, but it's basically pre-tax money. You put it in. Odette's put this in over years, and then you use it for retirement. Now, Odette, so you're retired, though. You're no longer contributing to these, the 403B or the 457.
That's correct.
And have you ever thought about rolling that into an IRA to have a little bit more flexibility?
Yeah, because now I realize that 1% that I have made over the last 5-7 years has not been what I should have been doing.
I would agree with that. Now, let me ask you the reason. So it goes back to a couple of things. It's always about your goal for the money, your time horizon for the money, and the amount of risk you're willing to take, meaning how much can you withstand or stomach the money fluctuating in value. So those are the three things, and usually you can answer this pretty quickly. Well, what's the goal? What's your time horizon? And then what is your risk tolerance? I can tell you your time horizon to some extent in financial planning. We're very often talking about when are you going to get to retirement? That's kind of the first one. You're there. So yeah. We're at ground zero on time horizon for you. This next phase you're in, Odette, is really the next, call it 20, 30, 40 years, however long you live. Hopefully 40 years gets you to 101, God willing. So you've got in my opinion, you've got a really long time horizon. Now, there are folks listening and saying, well, when I get to retirement, I get this all the time. Wes, I don't have a lot of time to recover. Well, that's to some extent, once you're in retirement, yes, you don't want to have a 50% stock market correction and have 50% or 100% stocks and have to go through that. But you do have a long horizon. So there's probably, you don't want to have 100% stocks. I can tell you that because you've been in something this safe for this long, that tells me right out of the gate that you have a pretty low tolerance for fluctuation, or else you would have been stocked. So I kind of know.
Changed.
What's that?
I'm better. Yes, I'm not as scared. I'm more realistic now.
I like that. And so I know that you've been conservative, but here's the, let's get, so we've kind of answered two questions. I know we've talked through your horizon. You're saying that you realize that that's too conservative, if you will. I bet you all stocks would be too aggressive for you. So probably to try to nail down your risk tolerance, probably Odette, you're somewhere in the middle. The question I have is, what is your goal? Do you need monthly income for this, or do you not really need to touch it and you're going to give it to your kids in 30 or 40 years? Like, what is, try to articulate how you are going to use this 403B money.
Okay, well, maybe I can tell you what I have in my IRAs, and then you can tell me how much I can afford taking a risk.
Yes, ma'am. Let's hear it.
Okay, IRA, I have in one IRA, $131,000. Roth IRA, $49,000. Another IRA, $146,000. In each of the 457, $79,000. 403B, $79,000. And in a bank, $245,000. Am I going too fast?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. My pension is $980 per month, and minus my health insurance, so I have $720 per month.
How much do you receive in Social Security?
Well, I have not started.
I'm sorry. You're only 61, so you haven't started yet. Starting next year. Are you going to get, well, if you wanted it to kick in at 62, what would you receive?
$774. If I wait until 66, $1,214.
Wow. Okay. Well,
so I'm asking you for my risk tolerance because I know I'm too conservative and I have made mistakes because of that.
Well, I think you always start with what's your baseline income. And you know that starting next year, even if you take social early, which you may not want to do, but even if you did, I call this worst case scenario, between your pension and your Social Security, you're at about $1,750 a month, right?
Okay.
That's $980 for the pension, $774 for your Social Security. Then if you think about where your assets are, right? You've got your regular cash, then you have a couple different IRAs, you have a Roth IRA, you've got all these different areas that are savings, $79,000 in a 457 and $79,000 in a 403B, right?
Yeah.
So you've got, again, I'm rounding here, about it's over $700,000 in savings.
And I have no debt. My house is clear.
House is paid for. That's a happy retiree move, by the way. So here's what we're working with. So if you're just tuning in, Odette is from Athens is talking about, well, if she has a couple different income streams that are about $1,750 a month starting next year, and then about $700,000 in assets, then that should produce another stream of income. But we're going to talk about that when we get back from a quick news weather traffic break. So Odette, this is wonderful. Hang on with us for a minute. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Odette about how she can generate some income from the $700,000 and how to diversify beyond this whole 1% thing that she's been kind of stuck in for so many years. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters with me, Wes Moss. You can find me, Ryan, and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Email me and the team with your questions. We're happy to help throughout the week, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And we are back live. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to go back to the phones here as we take calls and questions. Odette joins us on the line. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Odette, who is really saying, hey, it seems like I have plenty of savings, and now that we add it up, and this is such a classic case of, you might not feel like there's a ton of money that you have, and it's not necessarily working for you because it's so spread out. IRA at 130, and then a Roth at 49 grand, and then another IRA at 146, and a 457, and a 403B at less than 80, but it all adds up. along with cash, it's still, that's also doing nothing, by the way, Odette. It's not making anything. And you've really got almost $750,000 here that's just kind of sitting there really not generating anything. So even though there's plenty of capital, there's really not a lot of income. And if you take your pension plus your Social Security, that'll start next year, which is $1,750 a month. And then we look at that $700, instead of just sitting there fallow, if you start to turn, if you start to, let's say, balance, do this in a balanced, diversified way, and I'm my opinion here, and again, remember, there's a lot of different ways to invest, but I'm a big believer in income investing, and there are really six different areas to do that. Dividend-paying stocks, various bonds, and then you've got all these other areas like closed-end funds and real estate investment trusts and pipeline companies. And if you think about all those different areas, they really, they can all be paying you anywhere from 2% now, because that's kind of the lowest you'll see in the marketplace, because treasury bonds are now paying two-year treasury bonds are paying more than 2.5%. So that's kind of our new floor, Odette. And then it goes up from there, right? So you got, we have utility companies can pay 4% in dividends, 5% in dividends. REITs are going to pay 4 to 5%. Pipeline companies, 5 to 7% a year in income. So imagine, instead of having everything just sitting in cash, you don't want to have everything just sitting in technology stocks. But if you were to kind of go somewhere in the middle, where you have 5, 6 different major areas that are accessible, and they're all paying you an income, that's that you could be pull 4% out plus inflation, Odette, plus inflation, arguably for the rest of your life, for 40, 50 years. And that for you would be another 4% of 700, another 28,000 a year, which is 2,300 bucks a month, plus your 1750, Odette. Now you're at over $4,000 per month when it comes to your total income. And if you don't have any sort of mortgage, and that's another happy retiree trait, multiple income streams, happy retiree trait, you just really need to focus on what you need to do for fun and your core pursuits for the next 30, 40 years. And if you can diversify the assets, you're going to generate a whole bunch more income from what you're doing today. I know that there's more to this story. And of course, I'm happy to talk to you, Odette, offline or throughout the week. To get maybe a little bit more specific about this. It's hard to finish it all up in a call, but this is exactly what we're talking about. Multiple income streams, that's what works. Balanced diversification, perfect call. Thank you, Odette. More Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour. We're talking about economic videos, stock buybacks, right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.